Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us on our little experiment. The sound quality, as you'll notice, isn't awesome. But in our defense, it's not the worst I've ever heard in a podcast. But still, thank you for checking us out and hanging in there, as over the coming weeks, we tune and improve things.
We're getting close, real close. Ready?
Here we go. Welcome to Kerberos Productions' intermittent podcast about our current works in progress, the video game biz in general, to anything that tickles our fancy in those spare moments between progressing and our work. Welcome to Curbstop. Hi, I'm Christopher Stewart, Chief Operations Wonk. Here with me is Chief Executive Wonk and Creative Lead Martin Cirilis, and producer, designer, and keeper of our IP lore, Aaron Dembo.
Hello.
What's a wonk?
Huh? Maven? Experts?
Is it different than a twonk?
It's on the business card.
Twonk or wonk?
When do I get promoted to wonk?
So, let's start with...
You have to lower your productivity somewhere.
So, I guess maybe the best place to start, there's two things that came to mind. One, we should probably talk a little bit about ourselves.
Right.
On that old basis of not everybody coming through the door knows exactly who we are.
Yeah, well, screw them.
So, Martin.
What?
Actually, ladies first. Aaron. Yeah, that what lost you the opening. Aaron, how would you like to go first and tell us a bit about yourself?
Okay, I've been in the computer gaming industry since 1994. I started off writing reviews for a magazine called Computer Gaming World, which was I guess literally at the top of the field at the time. It was probably the most popular magazine for people who wanted to read about video gaming. Then I moved on to CNET Game Center, and eventually when we were ready, we made the transition to doing freelance work as developers. I've been the lead writer of Kerberos Productions since the studio was founded in 2004. I'm still there. It's 2011, which... I guess, to 2015 now, which I guess puts my career in the computer gaming industry at 21 years now. So anyone tells you that a woman can't survive in this industry, they're wrong! I'm still here.
Threat taken.
Threat taken.
Martin?
Yeah, that's pretty much the same as hers.
Longer.
Really? I guess what, I get a year on you?
You also have to talk about that designing stuff you do.
That's just a bunch of saying stuff and having people tell me it's wrong. Mid-early 90s, started writing for Computer Gaming World, wrote various places on the internet while the internet boom was happening, did some script consulting, campaign design work for Sierra on Homeworld, and various other titles.
Ground Control.
Ground Control would be the title. And then... ended up going to work full-time at Barking Dog Studios on Cataclysm, which was the Homeworld spin-off game, and then was a good and hard-working designer there till they got sold to Rockstar, and then a tumultuous year trying to work on Bully with my team. After which a bunch of us left and eventually started up Kerberos Productions, where I've pretty much been big, giant jerk in charge since then and creative director.
You're mean to yourself. Executive jerk in charge.
Executive jerk in charge.
And I, Chris Stewart, started in 97 in the classic sense that I knew a guy who knew a guy that Radical Entertainment was starting a testing team in-house. Went to work at Radical, learned everything I could, moved up through the teams. Then Radical had its first implosion, and when cut loose, I landed at Barking Dog Studios, and then similar to Martin's, a parallel track. Open to Kerberos Productions. In between, I did a lot of entertainment writing for IGN and a couple of other sites and a magazine here and there. You know, just so I could remember how to spell things. Practice my spelling and grammar. Gooder.
Wasted effort.
Now, quick comment about why a podcast.
I'm too old to type.
Well, actually, that's not too far off, not your age per se, but just the nature of keeping in touch with people. As of this past year, Kerberos is a decade old, so the amount of stuff that shifted around us in the industry and, you know, online, and I mean, there was no social media when the company started, at least not in the sense that it's used today. And yeah, everything kind of moved around on us. So given busy schedules and stuff like that, it actually kind of seemed easier to just take half an hour here and there every couple of weeks, sit down, shoot the shit, which we kind of do here and there anyways, and then put it up for people to listen to.
We're allowed to swear.
I don't think they can stop us.
Because this podcast gets a lot different if I'm allowed to swear.
Do you want to... We can apply the PG rules. Shit's okay.
And I have to keep my feet on the floor during sex scenes?
There's not. I'll bleep that out.
Here's the long and short of it. We love being in contact with you guys. There's not enough hours in the day to type out long entries about what we're up to at any given moment. So the new plan is we're going to talk, which is faster. And then if you guys want to ask questions about what anything we've said on the message board, we will be glad to do short answer theater there.
Best places if you want to get back to us is contact at Kerberos, KERBEROS-productions.com. Or online at Twitter, at Soulforce, or Kerberos Productions on Facebook. We're there as well.
What happened to posting on our message boards?
And our message boards.
We have forums.
Yes.
Totally
Kerberos-productions.com/forums. Right, so I guess we'll start with nitty gritty and then get loosey goosey and other...
To say,
fancy turns of phrases
that mean nothing in this situation.
And we'll also discuss your other girlfriends.
So we'll start with business stuff and where we're at. Just company stuff. And
what are we doing?
Sorry, my mind's offward. I'm at a club where Lucy Goosey is a dancer.
Well, we started a podcast, so we've covered that.
We are working on Kaiju and Go-Go right now.
We're heading into the
final stages. Yep. Final stages, polish, mechanics are all in. People have seen various screenshots. For those of you completely out of the loop, it's a game in which you play a mad scientist and you develop a giant monster, a kaiju, to go out and attack cities around the world in order to force the world to bend to your will and surrender to you. The short and the long of it is, think of it being the bad guys in XCOM, where you're looking at that giant swirling globe, but as a target. And you're looking to see which cities are vulnerable, which cities to threaten. As you gain money and power, you can train more abilities into your monster, making him stronger and more powerful. And your monster has 99 powers you can train. So that's a whole lot of customization. In any given game, we expect you to be able to get to between 30 and 35 different powers trained into your monster. So for each monster, pretty much 3 playthroughs just to get the feel for everything it can do. Then after that, you can start working on synergies.
The simplest pitch for the game is destroying cities with your giant monster.
Yeah.
That's at the core.
I just don't want to oversimplify it because it makes it sound like that it just ramps.
We should definitely talk about details, but if you want to do like the elevator pitch entry. And to be honest, it was the first proof of concept on the game, because before a lot of the advanced features and strategy stuff went in, we had the monster marching through a city, stomping on buildings. And proof is in the pudding, that we took it to places like full indie meetups and all that, and the people
loved
just doing that.
Yes. The simplest pitch to someone with gaming experience is it's Rampage meets Evil XCOM meets Evil Genius.
And what's the simple pitch for people without a gaming background?
Roar!
There's way more of them with the game.
Roar!
And I, as Chief Operations Wonk, I want them.
Well, since I do not deign to notice people who don't play games,
I'm doing the elevator pitch. Shut up. That's you. That's you and your pet. Just imagine yourself cackling madly with a remote control.
You're doing the elevator radio play type.
While you destroy.
Meanwhile, in Tokyo.
Things are going poorly.
But yeah, and even sooner than that, actually, we're heading towards our press copy. So, if you're the press and you're not on my list, or not sure if you're on my list, drop us that line I mentioned.
And I guess VIP members will also be getting that.
The VIP members will as well. Yes. From our game production stuff, I wanted to, I thought it'd be funny to bring up just because here's the thing that I always lament the most about gaming fans is they know a lot about games and gaming business is still a bit mysterious. Even in this day and age where there's a lot of information coming in fast and everybody thinks they know, there's still a lot of stuff that kind of gets lost in the translation unless you kind of, you know, up to your knees in the mud. And number one would be, speaking of the 10-year history of Kerberos Productions, when we launched, we were publishing our first game, Sword of the Stars.
Yep.
That classic of 4X gaming.
Yep.
Still available on Steam. Get your copy today. Offer void in Quebec.
Oregon.
Well, technically, we're in Dutch. But, anyways.
That's not what I was talking
about. Lighthouse Interactive at the time put it out. Did very awesome with it, actually. Lots of great covers, different editions around the world. That was the era of boxed copies still. I mean, it was great stuff. A few hinky early lessons on our part, but the first lesson we ran into is business impermanence.
Yes.
And much to our surprise, we got our first, in fairly short order, because the way games work, if people don't understand it, but in the classic third-party publisher sense, it's kind of like a book. You show up with your pitch. They say, here's an advance, go write it.
Yeah.
Once the, you know, we'll do the hassle of marketing it and printing up the books and selling it and all that. And once we make back our advance, then you start getting your cut of the royalties. And
right. Make this point, though, because this is the crazy thing normal people don't understand.
This is a podcast. You can make the point. You make the point.
Making back your cut
is
still based on your royalty percentage.
Yes.
So if they pay you $100,000 to finish your book, and your royalty percentage is 15%, that $100,000 is paid out of the 15% of all the rest of the money.
The 15 going. Cents on every
so
dollar.
So while they're recouping, quote unquote, your $100,000, they've made an extra $900,000 on top of that.
Yes.
That's the funny world of publishing.
That's the funny world of publishing. And in this particular instance, oh so many moons ago, in short order, because we were fairly far along ourselves, but being a new company needed you know, distribution support and all that. Didn't need a lot of advance money, so in short order, the advance was paid off. We got our first royalty report. Should I do amounts? It was kind of tiny, but we were a tiny team, and it was a tiny time. But that first one...
Were we tiny tots?
We were tiny tots. You know, it tipped over, they made their money back, and in that first reporting period, were they monthly? It doesn't really matter. Anyways, I believe it was about $11,000, which was exciting to get that.
Yep.
It was immediately followed by the piece of paper that said, hello, we've gone bankrupt and you're not getting it.
You're not getting your $11,000.
So, flash forward to last week when I get a piece of paper from the lawyers overseas saying they have finished everything that needs to be done to shut down a company.
Yeah.
10 years. I spoke early on about things like, how do we stand in line for money? And it turns out there's a lot of big fish with their hands out before it even gets to us. To me going, can we have any leftover copies of our Deacon's Tale book and stuff like that? Like anything. They were like, no, it's all kind of go through this arbitration, etc. That process took 10 years.
Yep.
10 years, man! 10! Where have you been for 10 years?
So if you ever wondered why we signed on with another publisher...
That's why.
Yeah, because if we waited around, now is about the time things would have gotten resolved.
Yeah.
And this is why large publisher shenanigans are always super dangerous to small developers, right?
Yeah.
Super developers don't usually have the war chest to survive shenanigans.
Small developers don't.
That's what I said.
You said super developers.
They're super. We're all super.
We're all super. We're all special.
We're all special.
We're all winners.
I'm very special.
I'm not wearing any pants.
Yeah, so that was actually very early on. We learned just how fast and nimble as a small div you have to be.
You have to be.
So anyways, yeah, that was, like I said, that was an interesting blast from the past.
Blast from the past.
To find out. And literally the piece of paper said, everything's been worked out. There's a piece of paper somewhere in Holland. So if I go look, it's been nailed to a church door.
Well, a small moment of silence for our first publisher that gave us our start.
there was no independent publishing. There was no Steam.
I'm saluted. Okay.
That was a missing company formation.
Anyways. But yeah, so there's a piece of paper listed with who's getting paid, but it boiled it down to...
not you.
Government leaseholders and not you, basically. Okay. Some kind of thing. So, so yeah.
There you go.
There's no real way to wrap it up. Like, it's bemused is the perfect word. I'm neither happy nor sad about it. It's just, oh,
huh.
That's interesting. Yeah, exactly. Huh.
That's what we're working on now. What we're working on now. What we're working on now, huh?
I'll cut that in.
Yeah, or out.
Well, we just did what we're working on now.
Sorry. No, we're not, because we're working on Super Secret, new character for the pit.
Oh, I see.
Super
okay.
Secret.
Super Secret.
And only the people who listen to this podcast will know about it.
That's right. Or the people that are on Steam like a week and a half from now.
That's right.
Super Secret. So I won't say what it is.
Is the character me?
No.
Well then,
I've seen you look as bad.
I don't care.
You're already in the game, Gunny.
That's not me.
So is.
Visually, yes. Audially, it's Tegrass.
Yeah, yeah. So tell him Gunny died like he lived.
That's right.
Angry and confused.
Well, that's not quite me. Because when I die, I'll be like, tell them I died as I lived, annoyed with a lot of you. So... annoyed.
Don't republish my death on the crappy Ghostbusters site.
So we're literally just hinting that there's a character, but we're not going to say what it is.
We're not hinting. We're saying there is.
I
said there is.
I think there's more than a
hint. I'm just not revealing what the character is.
That's
but he's super scary.
No,
ooh, scary. He is.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ooh. Oh, I'm thinking of... never mind. That's right. That's a hint.
Yeah. No, he's that old farmer who takes out the rubber mask.
And if you defeat him,
that's the Blood Raver to take off the mask.
I would conquer the pit if it wasn't for you, robots and that. Man kid.
Okay, so let's do the count then, because when you buy gold,
you get
six characters.
Yes.
And then two expansions.
No, when you buy gold, you get the first expansion.
Oh God, it's worse. It's more than six.
Yeah.
Right. So no, it's all right. Gold. Is base game with three characters?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Base game is three characters.
Plus mind games is two characters.
Mind games is two characters.
Plus part, sorry.
And then gold, we add three more?
At least. Eight.
Why did he say gold twice?
I didn't say gold. Base.
What
base doesn't
exist. He's talking about
right,
what
but base
gold
doesn't
includes.
Exist anymore.
He's talking
about
what
I'm
gold
talking
includes.
Business-wise, though, because it is a package onto itself in Steam Land. Right?
Okay.
So, the original game that went out had three characters.
Three characters.
Mind Games had two.
So that's five.
No, Mind Games had three.
No, it had
no,
two. It had your psychic and the Tark Ranger.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Five.
This
is fascinating podcasting right here.
Listen,
this is the new section. Test it on your own product. AKA hoist it on your own
better,
guitar.
That quiet clapping noise is me counting on my own fingers.
Counting on fingers. Taking off your shoes to get a shoe set up.
That's where expansion stopped.
And then gold, we added three alien races. Right?
Yep.
Lear,
Hiver.
And
Gunny.
Oh, God. That
Gunny was secret, though.
He's secret, so that makes nine total up to that point.
Yeah.
And then there's a character in Juggernaut and a character in Pilgrim. That's 11.
To 11, and this one will complete the triad.
It's 12.
12.
Wow.
There's one more. There's one last empire, which is still not represented.
Still not represented from the lore. So anybody familiar with our Sword of the Stars universe, there's a faction not represented. So that's a good
thing. And this new character will not be them either.
No. There were two factions not represented. Now there will be only one.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you which faction goes in.
All right, well,
is just going to have to be a surprise.
We're splitting lore here.
We'll see you guys in the summer for the Are We Done Yet edition.
That's right.
The pit. Are We Done Yet?
Osmium edition.
All right. Well, keep your eyes out for that in the next week. By the time this goes live, it'll only be a couple of days, really. So all the more reason to sign up on our Twitter and Facebook, etc. Our TwitBooks.
TwitBooks.
Our Facers.
I don't do social media.
Yeah, somehow I don't think you need to follow along.
I think it's passing. It's a passing fad. Much like electricity.
Anyways, okay.
Just about ready to give up my Genie account.
The Well? San Francisco was The Well?
Yeah,
The
Well.
We're old.
Old.
I'm slightly less old.
Okay.
Now it's time to talk about something else.
What we're playing right now. We're not doing one for every media, are we?
Yeah.
Oh, we're watching.
No. It all sounds like Mary Tyler Moore in a blender.
Mary Tyler Moore,
listen to
that's not what she sounds like. It's more like, ah! Anyways.
How in the world do you expect anybody under the age of 90 to understand you guys' joke?
Because I'm sure by next year there'll be a summer blockbuster based on Mary Tyler Moore.
Here, I'll join in.
Ooh.
Anyways.
What we're playing.
Yeah, you asked me to download, and I finally got a chance to try it yesterday, at least the initial...
Summoner's War?
Summoner's War.
Yes.
Whee!
It's cute.
It's cute. No, it's way worse than cute. It's super cute, and it's super fun, and super farmy. If you're going to play a free cell phone game, play Summoner's War, because it's like Pokemon, but down to the vicious feeding of your unliked monsters to better monsters.
Oh, I haven't gotten to that part
yet. That's how you can advance and improve your answers.
Oh, see, that confused me in the tutorial.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got my two or three characters, and they were like, what is it? It's not etching, that's the runes. But there's another thing that you do. Oh, powering up. And I open it, like, go to the monsters to power up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, there's my monsters. And what the hell's that fourth one? Like, they never bother to explain.
Yeah.
Here.
Take
a crap. Here's a cute little mushroom fairy.
Yeah.
To feed to one of your
other characters. Well, remember back in the old days when you had a pet snake or a pet piranha and you'd have to go to the pet store to buy it mice or guppies? It's like that, except a game.
You gain better now by feeding it members of its own species.
Yes.
I've done this so much in the past week that when I got up this morning, looking at my two chows, I was wondering which one would be better off being fed his brother, right?
The one that doesn't lick the sliding door when he wants in.
Or if you feed his brother to him, maybe his lick then penetrates the glass.
So to go back to Aaron's analogy, it's like owning a boa constrictor and going to the pet store to buy a smaller boa constrictor with laser beam eyes to feed to your larger boa constrictor.
So he gets better laser beam eyes. The art style is very good and very cute. The variety of monsters is very huge. There's not a brutal paywall, right? You can advance and grind pretty much.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's fun, right? So I would recommend that.
So depending on your feelings on pay to play, they're going to fail.
Oh, they're
like
already,
6 months.
No, they're making a point. They're established.
Well,
they're
because you don't like. I threw like $5 into the till because. Even though a game is free to play, doesn't make it free to develop, right?
Yeah.
And when you look at a game like Summoner's War, this is a beautiful game about character design. Like, somebody put real love and attention and, you know, like, intelligence into the design of a whole slew of great little characters, and each one is beautifully animated and has, like, great color and great life to it. So, I mean, not throwing those guys $5 kind of makes you a jerk. Right.
So it flies in the face then of, like, because right up till now, a lot of stuff has been ruthless, pale, like a certain candy-themed game that we won't mention, is kind of brutal in their pay us money to make things move faster.
I'm sure.
And they work on the 1%. If we get 1% of the
total, I'm sure they're
benefiting. This is the other way where they've softened it, but are obviously still then getting.
I'm sure they're benefiting from the people who fanatically must advance as quickly as possible.
They'll always be those.
Because their prices for that are pretty exorbitant, right?
Right.
but they still manage to provide a game that's more than playable and fun and grindy.
Right.
For no cash or little cash. I mean,
and
I do.
There's no ads in the game or anything like that, right? Like, you throw them the $5 if you want to help them out and you want to have some crystals or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not because you can't continue playing, and it's not, you know, because the game won't move anymore if you don't, you know, if you don't have whatever it takes to move forward, just stop playing for a while, right? Like, unless you're stuck on a plane, like, there's really not a lot of motivation for you to throw money in.
Well, I mean, my policy about freemium games is always, I'm not a person who gets addicted and throws millions of dollars at a game so I can win it, right? I'm a person who will play a freemium game, and if I find myself enjoying it for like 2 weeks, then it's like, okay, I don't care how many millions of dollars you're making, you can have my $10 too, because I've gotten 40 hours of gameplay out of you.
Right.
And that's a more than a fair deal.
Gotcha. The glass truck's here!
I'm about to say.
Hooray! Here's a loony, everybody. Go and get yourself some glass. And as it drives away, he plays Turkey in the Straw.
See, we gotta get that guy next door to electrocute somebody again.
This makes me much more sympathetic to all the complaining the Australians have been doing over the past, like, 6 years for their podcast. Every time they move to another studio, it's some nightmare of who's outside their office making some random noise or who's upstairs.
Currently, we sound like we're next to the engine room of a nuclear sub.
Which is where we are.
We're not going to tell you which one, though.
Well, we're a boomer. We're on a six-month deep mission. We won't be back in port for it.
For those of you who wonder why I haven't been updating my blog.
That's right.
You guys been playing anything else?
Board game-wise, been playing Smash Up. That's big fun.
Which one's Smash Up?
Smash Up is when you take the two separate themed card decks and mix them together.
You mentioned this to me before.
Yeah,
it mixes really nicely.
Mixes really nicely, and it's always fun. Like, last night I was... Robot Bear Cavalry.
Nice.
Which is a nice combination.
It's nice when you run into games like that. Like, Small World was like that.
Yeah.
There's random mixing element that really plays well.
Yep.
Versus the ones where you really want it to, and it just becomes... Grave Robbers from Outer Space.
Yep.
It's really hard to load in all those expansions.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they don't mix very well.
No.
Zombies. Yeah. As a zombies. And when I say zombies, I mean zombies... !!
Speaking of that,
I'm up to 13, and it's like...
I also play...
Oh, it's unwieldy.
I played their Cthulhu one, Hasta La Vista.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's zombies with...
I have Martians, and I have humans that I haven't played yet.
The Hasta one I have problems with, just because it's like a less fleshed-out zombie one, so to speak, right? Mm.
Jeez, why don't you say that again? See if you can destroy the whole city.
That's right. God, that was funny. And in no way am I thinking of zombie stuff in terms of the Pit expansion. but anyways, it's okay, but in a world with like 92 zombie games or expansions, it's just right? Like,
I've had to rethink my zombies because I actually, thanks to the sticky fingers of the random wanderers in Vancouver, I lost a box of probably $400 worth of board games. Was picked up and walked off with.
Yikes.
And it had my base zombies in it and a lot of the expansions.
Sucks. Sorry, man.
Well, that and Pandemic and its first expansion at the same time, too.
Ouch.
But in thinking about it, I'm kind of like, I'm not in a rush to go.
I have an extra copy of the second Pandemic expansion for you.
Oh, do you?
Because the stupid gaming store, when they repackaged it, lied to me and said, no, it's a brand new one.
No, it's a brand new one. Right, so, when they resized it, when they standardized the size. Yeah. Okay. Good, then all I have to do is go back and get the other one.
Yeah.
I'm rethinking getting the middle stuff. I actually backed them on Kickstarter for the Zombies 13.
Yeah.
Which got me a lot of fun stuff and some cards and art and stuff like that. I'm going to go back and pick up one again, because what they didn't steal was I actually still at home had the box for the first game, but all it was holding, because I had sorted out to play with the first expansion, all it contained was big bags of zombies, heart tokens, bullet tokens. And I'm like, I'll never run out again! And then somewhere's in the middle. So what I've learned is those little box zombie ones, they're kind of annoying. They all have their little quirk. They actually kind of interfere.
Yes.
But if you get the standard size, I think it's three with the dogs and stuff like that, they actually mix together nicer.
Yep.
So I think I'm going to go back and just get those ones.
It's like Star Trek movies. Just skip the even numbers.
Skip all the even numbers.
No. The final judgment on the Cthulhu game is that, boy, it sure made me want to play zombies again.
Oh, there you go. What pissed me off most is all this stuff got stolen, and the reason it was all together was as I had just finished my mashup of the two. Well, not a proper mashup, but I had actually just come up with rules whereby you play Pandemic and you have the color tokens. And it turns out color tokens in Pandemic match to the little colored men in the in Zombies. So what I have is you play Pandemic, and inevitably in Pandemic, you lose.
You lose, yeah.
And when you lose, that's the zombie outbreak, at which point you take your character from Pandemic, and I came up with little special individual character rules, and then you move to Zombies. So you play Zombies with their base rules, and each character...
So how well you did in Pandemic dictate what you bring into Zombies with you?
How well you did?
Yeah.
No. Each character just kind of brought their...
I'm going to have to redesign your project.
Okay. let me rebuy everything, and we'll try it again. It worked really well. I got to play it a couple times with people, and the trick was to make sure it wasn't overpowering. So
you notice how we drifted past what we're playing to what Chris wants to talk about.
Okay, fine. Actually, if you want to know what I'm playing, it's kind of embarrassing. You ready?
Better be Candy Crush.
No, Toca Boca's Toca Band and Toca Boca Toca Lab.
That's some sort of stoner name?
No, actually, if I had to pick a kids game company that's really impressive right now, it's the Toca Boca guys.
Cool.
And I got introduced to them by friends who had slightly older kids and got them for my little guy. Toca Band is a funny little game. It loads up and it's a bandstand with all these different positions at different levels.
Right.
And a row of these weird little characters. And as you drop them, they all start doing their part of a song. And depending on where they're standing at the different layers of the stand, they either do a simpler version or a more complex version of their thing.
So it's a video game.
It's for kids.
Yeah.
It's a video game. And then the last space at the top allows you to then manually play them, sort of thing. So it's kind of like mixing. You bring your little kid, your little guys in.
We know someone would be very annoyed by that kid.
Who's that? Oh.
The music guys.
Oh, the music guys. Well, it's one song, though, right?
Yeah. So
it's, it can't do much. You know what? I'll record a bit.
Yeah.
I'll put it at the end of the podcast for people to listen to. But let's just put it this way. Thomas has played a half an hour of it. Daddy's played an hour of it. So that's a little weird, right? Isn't that weird?
It's pretty weird.
And then the other one that they did, this Toca Lab, is kind of fun. It appeals to me because it's kind of similar to what we do with our stuff, which is mixing and matching of resources. So
right.
You get way more stuff without going crazy trying to individually make super special distinct stuff. So they come up with these elements, fake elements, and they have different, they're anthropomorphized in that they've got faces. But they could be like little gem-like rock guys or little blobby jelly guys or whatever. But you have this simple lab with like running electricity through them, running through a centrifuge, etc. And when you do this to them, they turn into elements, and it turns into this weird grinding Pokemon of elements of trying to guess what you need to do to collect all these different fake elements. Again, Thomas has had half an hour of fun. Daddy's in a weird rush to get them all. And the best part is I brought this up to a mutual friend, and he was like, yeah, no, right, I'm doing the same thing.
As long as it doesn't turn into Pokemon Snap, you're okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm fighting. I gotta find a moment. I went to EB Games and picked up DJ Hero 2 for $5. So that's my treat. My holiday treat to myself.
My treat to myself was the Lego Batman 3, which I played like 30 seconds of.
The cutscene is what you've played in. The opening cutscene.
It's cutscene. No, and I ran around a bit as Batman.
Okay. I was super annoyed because at the EB they had a copy of the Indiana Jones Lego.
Right.
So $5. I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to get to this, but sooner or later, you know, me and little guy are going to play it, right? And I take it up, and it was one of those EB things of, yeah, I don't know why this is out there, because I can't find the disc. And like, never mind. I'll come back and get it later.
You could have gotten it for the Christmas sale for like $5.
Well, it was $5 there, too.
I know, but it was super cheap at the Xbox store.
I'm playing Summoner's War.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And I'm also playing Bastion, which is fun. I'm grinding away at that game. It's very, very old. But I hadn't had a chance to play it. It's a fun game. I don't know if anybody else is playing on Xbox platforms, but it's a good little game for that. Having fun with the storyline and the mechanics of that. So.
We should have Rowan in sometimes to discuss his angst about the new generation of CRPGs being done all that.
Why? What's this?
We're just
asking you. Should we bring him in?
We should bring him and discuss it since he's together.
Intern Ron. We'll bring him in.
He's a junior.
He'll always be intern Ron.
That's right. He's graduated to junior designer.
Okay.
Intern Rowan.
Internal Rowan. Okay. What else? Oh, what we're watching. What we're watching.
See, I am going to pace these in every episode, and they're just going to get more and more annoying.
You start stringing them together into longer pieces. What we're watching. Almighty Johnsons. Or the Mighty Johnsons.
The Mighty Johnsons.
Almighty.
Yeah. They're the Almighty Johnsons?
I think so.
Well, they should be. Just finished watching all the episodes that there is on Canadian Netflix. It is a very cool little show.
Yes, it's from New Zealand, as I understand it.
Yes.
It's made in New Zealand. It's features all New Zealander actors and characters.
Premise, Norse god reborn into the bodies of various New Zealand family members.
Interesting.
Yeah, four brothers, each one of whom embodies a different Norse god, trying to achieve greater power.
For people who are not New Zealandish, you may be shocked by the level of casual drinking. People drink a lot in the show, I'm just going to say.
Let's just say that you could make a drinking game out of taking a drink every time somebody on screen takes a drink.
And then you would go to the hospital.
Is it more or less overtly display of godly powers than Percy Young?
Way less.
Much less.
And the adventure of...
Way less. Yeah.
I can't remember the name.
That's right. No, it's way less, and hence actually kind of cool, right?
Is it like Heroes level where they really parse it out slowly? It's literally
it's even lower level.
So it's like watching okay. Family drama stuff, and every once in a while somebody hits a lightning bolt.
On your 21st birthday,
yes.
Your brother convinces you that he's the Norse god of gaming, right?
Okay.
And the hunt by making you play rock paper scissors with him, and he wins 400 times in a row.
Wow.
Whether he's looking at you
or not,
whether his eyes are closed or not.
No matter how fast you go.
The laws of probability do not apply.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, I'll just check that out.
Yeah, it's a good little show.
It's a good little show. Good arc.
The list of stuff I watch is just slowly gearing back up because of the holiday break. So, new Flash I haven't seen yet.
Oh, God, the new Gotham this week. Was
awesome.
Yeah. How many episodes in is it now?
I think that was the 11th or 12th. No, it must be. Anyways, it's just...
I'm very behind on Gotham.
Super
really
quality.
Good show.
Which is to say, I've only watched the first episode.
It's fantastic.
I wish I would. I'm going to go invent a machine to erase my memory of Gotham so I can watch it again and be such a happy man.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's downright charming.
Yes, and also lifted from Red Dwarf.
We started watching Agent Carter.
Yes.
Yes, I watched the first...
Which is just delightful, right? Great, great period music, wonderful character.
What now, Miss Carter?
Now, I go to work.
Right, really nice dynamics. Right.
And a note to Joss Whedon and his brother, that's how you write spy thriller stuff for TV.
Yeah, they're going really slow on the 11.
They're just, I mean, no offense, I love those two. They're awesome, and they do awesome things for nerdery. They should stay the away from spy shows.
Okay, PG rule, remember?
I dropped one F-bomb. I also dropped some truth bombs. So the F-bomb was ensconced in a truth bomb.
That just makes it a hydrogen F-bomb.
An HF-er for sure.
Like
it annoys me to leave building standing.
Anyways, it is really good period piece. Late 40s spy.
Yeah, it was great.
Yep.
Wacky adventure fiction.
Yep.
The only thing that, and it's not a real detriment thing, though, is if you saw the, whatever you want to call it. What did they call it when you watched, that she wrote, and they would do the, literally would start with, hello, my friend, I'm Jessica, I write novels,
yes,
and you're my friend the magician. I hope you don't go off and solve a murder now, goodbye, and then she disappears, and they do this backdoor, it's backdoor pilot.
Yes.
They kind of did a backdoor pilot on Iron Man.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, that was
the
a
DVD.
Pilot.
And if you watch that, they kind of reset some of what was at the end of that. So
but
this whole thing where they look down on her thing.
So I didn't, so I don't care.
Okay, well, lucky you.
it's
the whole idea where there's a jerk at the office and they don't take her seriously. Yeah. That was the premise of the thing,
yeah.
And it ended with her solving a big, you know, like a crime on her own. To which all the upper rank guys and Howard Stark devote the other guy and put her.
Yeah, they're hitting some very good notes. One of the big.
And they kind of reset that.
One of the big notes, the themes that the show is hitting on is that much overlooked, the ditching the we can do it women back into the house after the war is over.
Yes.
Right? Unceremoniously and dishonorably shoving them back.
Well, it's just like the reassertion of American hyper-masculinity after the war. It's like, well, we're all back from the front now, and we all really need to prove that we have penises and we're in charge, so we're going to be extra brutal until the 50s come along. Right? It's just like, we're all going to like really make sure you understand that you don't have a place in the workforce or anything else.
There's a nice line there for a woman explaining how she had to teach a guy how to rip it.
I was about to mention that one, yes. Having to teach the guy who's going to replace her. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to teach your own replacement. I mean, I worked at Boeing in the 80s and knew a woman, a female engineer, who had been working there since, you know, the Rosie the Riveter's days and had managed to survive the purge of women from, you know, the workforce. So, like, she was one of the toughest women I ever met in my life and had stayed a female engineer. So I was like, yeah, like, it was very, very difficult to if you were had any bend in you at all at that point, like, you definitely wanted to leave these work environments. And they were really capturing that well on Agent Carter, in the sense of just the really rigidly enforced, you know, groupthink misogyny that's endemic in that kind of workplace.
That was good. What else? Oh, I rewatched Jekyll last week.
Rewatched Jekyll?
Yeah, I haven't watched it in a couple of years.
I don't think I've seen it since I first watched it.
Yeah, BBC series, Moffat's, the thing he did before Sherlock. Same sort of shtick, though.
Starring the guy who, before he became a dwarf.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's
one of the dwarves.
Whose name I can't remember right now.
But anyway, still an awesome show. Still, actually, a little bit edgier and riskier than Sherlock.
What is it? Six episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Six episodes, right?
So if you can find it on Netflix, watch it, because it's not a big investment of your time to go through.
And it's possibly the first two episodes are probably the tightest 2 hours of television I've ever seen. Right? There is no wasted space. Right? Someone needs to call Moffat and see how many hours he spends rewriting his first couple hours of script.
There you go.
Because, man, there's not even room for a spare piece of oxygen in those two episodes.
Very efficient.
Yep.
Well-written stuff.
Super tight.
Super recommended.
And the next time we do this, we could squeal about Captain Cold and Heatwave in the Flash.
Yay!
Yes, I think
because we're super nerds. Okay. Are we done with these people?
Signing off now.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
Anything else you guys
want to
talk about?
That's it. That's all I want to talk about. We'll be back. Don't worry. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
How was your day?
It was great until we had to do this.
Sorry I dragged you in here.
That's
no,
right.
We love you all, and now we're saying goodbye.
Oh, yeah, no, that's right. We love you all.
We do. Don't listen to him.
It's kind of like the 6-year-old. Tell your brother you love him. I love you. Fine, we'll work on sincere later.
We got to get back to that work.
Well, this is our own backdoor pilot.
That's right.
Which, when you say it on your own, sounds kind of dirty.
You're a backdoor pilot.
You're a backdoor pilot. But roughly right now, that's the shape of how we're going to do it from now on. And I think we're going to target every couple of weeks. Listen in.
Yeah.
And then give us your feedback.
I was going to say, if you all think this sucks, then we won't do it anymore. So fine.
Oh, no. We're going to keep doing it.
There'll
always be
it.
The one guy who thinks
there's,
it sucks.
There's my plan to make a whole bunch
of... And you know who you are.
A bunch of ghost accounts and say it sucks. I didn't have to do this anymore.
No. It's us. You know that even if people think it sucks, we're going to continue. We will never stop. We cannot be stopped.
All right. Well, from SSN Kerberos in the...
Deep in the depths of English Bay.
English Bay.
Which is like 75 feet deep.
In our boomer sub.
We're stuck. We're not really going anywhere. We bottomed out.
With our robot dinosaurs.
When the tide goes out, we're on one deck sunbathing.
It's World War II Italian submarine crew. Look it up!
All right. Well, from the nuclear missile compartment of SSN Kerberos, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye!